We are in John chapter 12 still this morning. We will begin at the 27th verse when we get there. So if you want to be turning there and having that in ready, that would be good. Choices. We make hundreds of them every day, and many of them don't seem that important. You know, am I going to drink Diet Pepsi or Diet Coke? Or even just regular Coke instead of one or the other? Do I have the French fries or the onion rings? Do I go to the store now or do I wait until later? What newscasts am I going to watch? What radio station am I going to listen to, or am I even going to turn them on? You know, each decision like that and so many others that we make every day are automatic. We don't even think about making the choice. But we do. And most of those choices seem insignificant or inconsequential. And they just really don't seem to make a difference in the grand scheme of even our own day, let alone life or the world. There are other decisions that we make that seem to be a little bit more consequential, at least for our own lives. You know, when I go to the doctor, that's if I'm going at all, do I tell them about all of the symptoms or just the one that seems the most nagging at the moment? Do I eat salad or the greasy hamburger? Do I call in sick or do I just tough it out for the day? Now, each one of those may or may not affect not only today, but the rest of our lives. The thing is they still are not the ultimate choice. They are not the choice of the most consequence or the most significant. And John tells us that there are choices, or is a choice, that is much more significant. And it's to those questions this morning we're going to turn our attention. And so we're going to start at John chapter 12, verse 27, but we're not going to read all the way through the end of the chapter. We're going to read three sections to get to the end of John chapter 12. And so I've tried to put the verse on the screen when we change from one section to the next. And so this is what John writes, beginning in verse 27. He says, "Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came out of heaven, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "The voice has come not for my sake, but for your sakes. Now, judgment has come upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself." And down to the verse 35, it says, "So Jesus said to them, for a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. For he who walks in darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke, and he went away from and hid himself from them. Down to verse 44. And Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me does not believe in me, but him who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings, he has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak as the Father has told me." Our questions come in two clusters, and with two questioners, which is how we're going to look at them this morning. And the first of those, the first one who has a choice to make, as we will see also, the choices have consequences, and Jesus has those consequences. Yeah, that's a new word. Jesus has those consequences in mind as the choices must be made. And so as we look at Jesus, we think about the choice, and maybe we don't think enough about the choices that Jesus made. But John here points us to one set of choices that Jesus makes. And that is the choice of, will he accept the path of salvation, or will he reject it? Will Jesus go down the path of pain and suffering that is before him, or will he accept that path and follow that path to the end? And John tells us that as Jesus is considering that question, as he's teaching the crowds, he looks at them and he asks the question, should I follow the path of salvation? The other gospel writers tell us that Jesus had the same choices, the same questions. And for them, for Matthew and Luke, it began at the beginning of his ministry when he's tempted by Satan. The question is, will I follow the path of salvation? Will I choose to be obedient to the Father? Will I choose not my own comfort and my own safety and security, but will I choose the path of salvation? And so Jesus is here asking the question, am I going to follow the path of salvation? And with it comes the question of, will I accept the Father's will? Will I accept the decision that God has made and that God is making concerning the path of salvation? Will I do what the Father asks of me? Paul puts it this way in Philippians chapter 2. He says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which also is in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Paul says that Jesus was making this decision, and the decision actually began before Jesus came to earth. He left heaven, which was part of the choice. He then became obedient to the will of the Father, which is a second part of the choice. And Paul then says the ultimate part of that choice was to become obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus was making a choice as he lived his life on this earth. And Jesus, we read, you go to the account of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. John doesn't include it. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have a version of the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night he is betrayed by Judas, the night that the temple guards and the temple leaders come to take him prisoner, to have him crucified. And Jesus prays, and he asks God, he says, if there is any other way, please let this cup, and the cup that he's speaking of when he says that is the cup of wrath, the wrath of God that has been stored up against mankind. Jesus is drinking the cup of God's wrath. He says, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but your will be done. Jesus has to make a decision. Will I be faithful? Will I be obedient? Will I choose the path of the cross? And with Jesus, there are consequences to the choices. And John lists those consequences. One, he says that if Jesus is obedient, it means that judgment is coming on the world. It means that judgment comes. And when he says world, he doesn't mean the sphere that we live on. He's talking about the people and the way of life that this world represents. He's talking about people like you and like me, who breathe, and our hearts pump, and we walk, and we talk, and we make decisions to be obedient or to be disobedient, to sin or to yield ourselves to God's will. And the choice that the world makes when Jesus, or when John says that it is the world, when Jesus says that judgment has come upon the world, it is the sphere of influence that people make the decision to live sinful lives, to make sinful decisions, to follow sinful desires. And Jesus says, if I am obedient, the world will be judged. He also says that if he is obedient, Jesus says, if I am obedient, the judgment has come on the world, and I will cast out the ruler of this world. He's going to throw out, he's going to remove, he's going to push away the one who rules this world system. And as we read through the Gospels, as we read through the books of the New Testament, we come to understand that the one that he is speaking of is the one that we would refer to as Satan or the devil. He is the ruler of this world. He is the one who is over and above the demonic realm that influences, that continues to push this world into sinful desires. And Jesus says, if I am lifted up, judgment will come and I will cast out the ruler of this world. In fact, in 1 John, John says that the very reason Jesus came was to defeat the powers of evil, to render them useless and void. See, we no longer have to be slaves to sin. We no longer have to fear death. We no longer have to be under the power and the sway of the evil world. Because Jesus says, if I am lifted up, I will push those away. But we also know that as Jesus is making this decision, he is looking forward. He has already spoken in the book of John, and we know that if we look at the other gospels, that by this time in Jesus' life, he's already told his disciples that he is going to be crucified, but that he will rise again from the dead. And Jesus is looking, and he understands that if he is going to be obedient, it means that he is going to suffer a cruel, painful, humiliating death, but that he will be raised from the grave, and that eventually he will ascend to sit down at the right hand of God. And he understands, and he's looking forward to that, not because it's going to be enjoyable, but because of what it brings. And Jesus knows that that choice has consequences, because he also says, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. He says that if he is lifted up, he will have the gift of salvation that will be available to all men, both individually and as peoples and tongues and tribes and nations, that he speaks about in the book of Revelation. That all people, not just the Jews, not just the select group of the descendants of Abraham who've come through Isaac and Jacob, but to the descendants of Abraham that come through Ishmael, and the descendants of Abraham who come not by physical birth, but by spiritual birth, he will offer salvation to all men. And I have a feeling that you and I should be the most happy that it's to all men, because probably none of us sitting here this morning can say that our primary heritage is Jewish. So I'm thankful that it is to all men. And Jesus was looking and making the choices, and he knew the consequences, and he still chose. And John will point this out as the gospel continues. Jesus chose the path of death. In fact, he says, should I pray, Father, take this cup away from me? No, because it is for this very reason that I came. Jesus says at the end, or actually at the beginning, he says, I am making the choice. The second one who has choices to make is you. You have choices to make. Well, actually, if you look at the book of John, it is the original audience that Jesus is speaking to that has choices to make. But by extension, that leaves the choices and the consequences for each one who hears and each one who reads the Gospel of John. You have to decide. You have to make a choice. And in fact, if you look to the end of the book of John, in John chapter 20, that's what John says. He says, I have written these things so that you may know. Which means you have to make a decision to be obedient or not. And it's to our choices we turn. And as we look through this passage, as we think about what John says, John says that one of the choices that we have to make is, will we accept or will we reject who Jesus is, or who Jesus said he was? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of Man, who is also the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus came to die on the cross for your sins and the sins of the world? Do you believe that Jesus Christ rose on the third day from the grave And then about 40 days later, ascended into heaven where he sits at God's right hand. Do you believe that? Will you accept or will you reject that message? That's the choice that you have to make. And Jesus says that we begin to make that choice not with those, but with the very teachings of Jesus. Do you believe the things that Jesus taught were true? Do you believe that when Jesus told us about the love of God, that he was telling us the truth? Do you believe that when Jesus says that you have seen him, you have seen the Father, that that's the truth? The problem is many in Jesus' day heard him teach things like that, and he didn't fit the mold that they had for what a Savior should look like, and so they rejected it. But the question is will you accept the teaching of Jesus? Will you accept that the works that Jesus did bear witness to who he was? And again, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John says that I have chosen these things to write to you. I have chosen these signs and these sayings so that you in hearing them may believe, and in believing you may have life. When you read about the miracles that Jesus performed, do you believe that they were pointing to him as the Messiah, the Son of God? Can you believe that? Because there are a lot of people who don't. There are a lot of people who try to explain away the miracles of Jesus. There were people in Jesus' day who tried to explain away the miracles of Jesus, because they did not want to accept that they were miracles that were signs to who he was and the authenticity of his message. It wasn't just that, but do we believe that they are true as they were witnessed by the audience? You see, because here's the reality. No one sitting here this morning saw Jesus work his miracles. I can confidently say that, because if history is right, it was about 1,990 years ago that Jesus died on a cross, that Jesus performed his last miracles. And I don't think that there's any of us here this morning that are quite that old. Some days we may feel like it, but we're not, I promise you. But will we accept the testimony of the eyewitnesses? Then we also have a second and a third thing that we are called to believe, and that is, do we believe the glorifying acts and events that pointed to who Jesus was? And by those, I'm talking about things like the testimony of John the Baptist, John the Witness, as I've been calling him. John the Witness. Do you believe John the Witness? That what he said about Jesus was true, that what he proclaimed about Jesus was accurate? Or how about those that worshiped Jesus? Oh, we see the people that Jesus healed. There were some of those who began to worship Jesus. And if Jesus accepts their worship, there are two possibilities. One, he's not who he claimed to be, and he was accepting false worship. And he was driven by the demonic. Or or Jesus was truthfully God in the flesh, because there is only one who is deserving of worship. There is only one who is worthy of accepting our glory and our honor and our gratitude, and that is God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who brought the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt and made them a nation, who promised that he would send someone to save them from their greatest need, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. He is the only one worthy of our worship. And if Jesus accepted the worship, he's either God or he's demonic. And third and fourth, we have the witness of the Father. The one who sent Jesus. Jesus says that part of our ability to accept or reject him has to deal with whether or not we believe that God actually sent him for us. And we look at the Old Testament. The Old Testament witness points to one who is to come. And by that, I mean you look simply at the prophetic voice of the Old Testament, that time and time again, from Genesis chapter 3, when God says to Satan, "You will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head." To Abraham, "I will bless all the world through your seed." To Israel, when Balaam says that the scepter will rise out of Judah. To David, when God promises him that one of his descendants will sit on a never-ending throne. Time and time again, the Old Testament prophesies about the coming of the Messiah. God's witness ahead of time to who the Messiah is and what the Messiah was to do. And do you believe that Jesus is that Messiah? Or then we can look for the Old Testament in a preparatory fashion. You go back, you study the Old Testament, and you look at the festivals. And we talk about it at Easter time, that Jesus is the Passover lamb. But then you look, and the next celebration is first fruits. And Paul says that Jesus is the first fruits of those who died and have been raised again. Then you look forward and you think about some of the fall celebrations, the Feast of Booths that reminded the people of their wanderings in Exodus. And Jesus came, it says, and lived in a booth among us to remind us and to tell us about the great Exodus that is to come. Or the fact that you look at the day of Have you ever lost something that you know? Well, anyway, you look at that day when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and bring redemption for all the people for another year. And Jesus is the one who takes us into the Holy of Holies, as Tracy said in his communion meditation. And we see the preparation throughout the Old Testament systems for Jesus to come as the Messiah. Or then you just get to hear the great voice of God. Three different times in the life of Jesus, the writers of the New Testament tell us that the voice of God came to prove or to pronounce that he is who he said he was. The other gospel writers tell us that at Jesus' baptism, God spoke about Jesus being his son. We can read in the other gospels about the transfiguration, where James, John, and Peter go up the mountain with Jesus, and His glory is shown through as he speaks to Abraham and Elijah. And God says to Peter, James, and John, just as the other two leave, "This is my son." And then we have the voice of God here, where God says, "I will glorify you. And I already have glorified you." And three times the voice of God comes to say, "This is my messenger." Can you believe that? Do you believe that? Because the choices that you make here and now have consequences. And Jesus says you get to choose. You can choose to walk in the light or you can walk in the darkness. And he's not talking about physical light and physical darkness, but we understand because we've tried to walk in both. How is it easier to navigate life? Well, in the light. If you go into a completely dark room that you're not familiar with, what are you going to do? You're going to run into things. You're going to bump your knees and stub your toes and bruise your arms or fall down and hurt yourself. But if you walk through the same room with the light on, you can see and you can navigate life. And Jesus says that life is best done by following him and walking in the light. We also have the promise of salvation that comes through choosing to believe that Jesus is the Christ. That one day he is going to return, but even now we can walk in the salvation and live in the salvation that he's offering to you and to me. The gift that he gives on the cross and through his resurrection and ascension is life. Life now as we are experiencing it as we were meant to, and life into eternity as we experience life as it's never been experienced. Because it will be even greater than it was experienced by Adam and Eve in the garden. Or we can accept judgment. You see, the unfortunate part about salvation is it is a great message if you accept it, but it is a terrible and awful message if you reject it. Because it is a message of salvation, but it is also a message of judgment. And Jesus says, if you do not believe me, then there will come a time of judgment. And I do not judge you, but the words that I speak will judge you. Because it will be whether or not you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. As if you acknowledge that he is the King, he will grant you life. If you reject him as your King, you will suffer the eternal consequences. Jesus is saying to us that there is a choice and it has consequences, very real consequences. And every day, we must make decisions that affect the rest of our lives. And there are choices that have been made simply because, well, I decided a long time ago I'm not going to drink Coke or Pepsi. Mountain Dew. Diet. And I don't have to decide. I know. I don't have to decide a lot of things. But Jesus offered us a choice of eternal consequences 2,000 years ago. And he made a choice for us, and that was to be obedient even to death on a cross, so that we can have life. And a second choice must be made by each one of us. Will we believe and obediently act upon the teachings of Jesus? Or will we reject him? Will you accept the offer of salvation that has been offered? Or will you reject it? Jesus gave up his life so that you could have life. And his call to each one of us is to choose life. Choose obedience now and life with him for eternity.